All right. Thank you very much, Brother Emery, for the announcement. Good morning, church. I'm just going to add a few things. First of all, you may have noticed that Reverend Joshua is not among us today. It's because he traveled to Butembo, where one of his close friends, another pastor, unfortunately died. So he went to that bereavement and the funerals and everything else. So continue praying for him so that the Lord may continue to strengthen him and may bring him back safely to us. All right? Yeah. Another thing is that Emery said it, the youth are doing a sermon series on mission. We are also in the same mindset because in the entire Sebeka community, this month we are talking about missions, all right? This month we are talking about mission. We want to celebrate what God is doing through us as a community in terms of expanding the work of his kingdom. I don't know if the media will be able to display the map, but today we really wanted to show you how the CBCA is moving with mission, especially here in the DRC. Yes, that's the map. Thank you very much. As you can see, we have a map here of the missionary stations of our community, the CBCA. And the red dots are the zones where we already have established churches or chapels. So as you can see, we are quite advanced all over the country. We started in the North Kivu, we are in the South Kivu, in Turi, Port Uele, Chopo, Manyema, Tanganyika, many other places, Haut-Katanga, Kinshasa, Kwilu. All those red dots represent the places that our church has already reached in the country of the DRC. But we also have many other places in this country that have not yet been reached by our mission effort. Those are the blue dots. Blue dots, you can see all those places. The CBCA has not yet established missionary stations in those places. But our ambition and our obedience to God's call is to reach all those places, not only in the DRC, but we also want to go outside, beyond the country. We have already done a first step toward that because right now, as I'm speaking to you, we have already established a church in Uganda, in Kampala, right? You hear about BCCA Kampala, it's because this is an already established church. They are actually doing great things there for the glory of God. But we don't want to stop there because all these white dots are prospective missionary stations that we want to establish outside the country. That could be in Rwanda, in Burundi, in Tanzania, in Zambia, in Angola, in our neighboring country, the Congo, the Republic of Congo, in Gabon, and in Cameroon, all right? But for us to achieve all those things, we need funds, we need people, and that's why this month, we actually wanted to show you all this month in order for you to understand why we are asking people to give toward this effort. That's why at the end of this service, our ushers and hospitality team will hand you the envelope. For those who did not get them last Sunday, you will have an envelope. And what we are asking for is at least $1. At least $1. If at least every member of the CBCA could give at least $1, we are more than 100,000. Imagine how big that effort will be for our mission effort. So at least $1, you put it in the envelope. And if the Lord convinces you that you need to give more, we will praise God for that. We will continue to praise him for that. So at the end of the service, please don't be in a rush to leave without an envelope that will be handed over to you by our hospitality team and our ushers, because this is the vision, and by God's grace, we are going to achieve it. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so let's get into the word for today. Would you please open your Bible with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 14. Romans chapter 10, 13 to 14. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Let's pray. Our dear and heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence today. And thank you, Lord, for just allowing us also to benefit from your word again this morning. We pray that, Lord, you may speak to us, that you may stir up our affection for your word so that, oh Lord, this word may reach our heart and may bear fruit, oh Lord, and fruit that will last. Lord, I pray that this moment may be blessed by you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So last Sunday we started this new series of teachings and it's titled, Here I Am, Send Me, because we want to talk about our commitment to God's purpose. Our commitment to God's purpose. And we said that without commitment, we will not be able to achieve the work of mission that God has called us to. And we started by contextualizing what is happening. Because in front of the challenges that we are facing as a country, in front of the reality of the brokenness of the world, we might ask the question, are missions still relevant today? But we saw through the history of Isaiah, because last Sunday we read from Isaiah chapter 6, we saw that even in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the difficulties that we may be facing now, God is still on his throne. God doesn't change in his position, he doesn't change in his person, and he doesn't change in his purpose. That's what we saw last Sunday. God is still on his throne. He's high and exalted. That's the vision that Isaiah saw. But God is also holy, holy, holy. Three times holy. He doesn't change in his person. He doesn't change in his character. He's still the same God. And while these angelic beings were worshiping God, the question that God asked was, whom will I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go before us? Because if I was a king and people are singing to me, I will be enjoying the songs. I will actually ask them to sing again. But that's not the God we serve. In the midst of all that worship, God's heart is broken for the lost. God's heart is broken for the lost. And the only question he's asking is, whom shall I send? Who will go before us? In other words, who will reach those who don't know me? Who will reach those who don't know me? And Isaiah responded, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit, when Isaiah was in front of a holy God, he was purified, right? He was purified by fire. And fire, oftentimes in the Bible, represents the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment is the same Spirit that empowers us for mission. We saw that last Sunday. We read that. John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8. Jesus says, but if I go, I will send him to you. That's the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The same Spirit that convicts us of sin is the same Spirit that Jesus later on speaks about in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witness. The same Spirit convicts, the same Spirit empower. So from the moment you believe, from the moment you are convinced, from the moment you are cleansed of your sins, you become a missionary. Amen? Amen. You are sent. And we concluded by stating that if we want to stay the course with missions as people who have experienced God, this must be our conviction. We must live with that conviction that even now, God is still on his throne and his heart is broken for those who are lost. And the only question he's asking us now is, whom shall I send? Who will go before us? And my hope is that we'll be the one saying, here we are, send us. Here we are, send us. So that's the reality, amen? So basically last Sunday what we were talking about was the reality of the brokenness of our world. and man needs for salvation. Because that's what Paul is saying. Because if you read the verse before the one we started with in Romans, it says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. And then we go to verse 13 that I just read, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul is talking about the need for salvation for every man. All people, they need salvation. All people need the righteousness that comes from Christ. And that's a reality. That's a reality that people are broken, the world is broken, and they need to be saved. And Jesus talked about this reality in Matthew chapter 24, how you'll see signs of the last days. You'll see wars, you'll see famine, you'll see natural catastrophe. There will be false teachers. But within this reality, we are still called to do what? To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, that's how Jesus concluded that short discourse in Matthew chapter 24. He said, in the midst of all this wickedness, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. So within that reality, we are still called to do what? To bear witness to the good news of the gospel. And that leads us to my second point this morning, is that within that reality of the world brokenness and mad needs for salvation, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility because that's the question that Paul is asking now. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? How will they believe if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And the God we serve is a sending God. And he's still sending us. We saw that he sent Isaiah. But if you look also in the story of the Bible, you saw that he sent Moses, right? Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He sent prophets. And even today, God is sending us. He didn't only send prophets, but he also sent his only begotten son. Because when you read John 3, chapter 16, we stop at 16. But if you read the following verse, the Bible said, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. And the Jesus that God sent also said in John chapter 17, when he's doing this priestly prayer, that as God sent him, he's also sending us. If you read John chapter 17, verse 18, it says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So from the moment you believe, you are sent. Someone said, to follow Jesus is to be sent. To follow Jesus is to be sent. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I think one of the reasons why we are not living with that sense of being sent is that we have mystified the profile of a missionary. We think that missionaries need to be this eloquent evangelist, need to be these pastors, need to be this extremely trained theologian. But let me demystify the missionary's profile through the scriptures. When you read Acts chapter 8, you hear about a persecution that happened in the church, right? When that persecution happened, verse 1 of Acts chapter 8 says, the church persecuted and scattered on that great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. In the midst of persecution, people were scattered. No? They went to places, and it says that they went to Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. I mean, these are the people who lived with Jesus. These are the people who saw Jesus. These are the people who walked with Jesus for 3 years. But these people stayed in Jerusalem. And other people, because of the persecution, they were scattered. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 8 says that those who were scattered, those who had been scattered, preach the word wherever they want. We don't know about their names. We don't know about their identity. But all we know about these people is that when they were scattered, when they were fleeing from persecution, they went about preaching the word. It's like war can broke out again here, and we are in the obligation of living. That's not what I want to happen. But as we are living, we are still on the mission. We are still on the mission. We still have the duty to preach the word, to live out the Great Commission. Amen? Another thing that you might know is that you must know is that the first martyr in the history of the church was a deacon. Stephen was a deacon, right? He wasn't a bishop. He wasn't an apostle. No, he was a deacon. Ordinary people, right? People who were set apart for the work of caring for the widows, but they also had the Spirit of Christ in them. Because when it was time for them to testify, they testified with boldness. Ordinary people. In Acts chapter 11, we read about the same people who were scattered. Acts chapter 11 verse 19 says, "Now those who had been scattered by persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greek, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." Those who were scattered, we don't know their name. They are not Paul. They are not Peter. They are not James. They are not John. They are ordinary people. They just went and established themselves to some places where they felt more safe. And even there, they started doing what? Testifying about what God has done in their lives. So mission is for all of us, ordinary people. And mission doesn't happen only in here, but everywhere we go, we need to live with that sense of knowing that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, that we are representing Christ everywhere he is sending us, everywhere that we are called to work, everywhere that we are called to function, within our families, our workplaces, everywhere that you'll find yourself. You are an ambassador. Amen? Someone said that the only Bible that some people will read are your life. Okay? Your way of living. Okay? Your way of living. So mission is where our feet are. Amen? Mission is where our feet are. But let's not forget that, yes, there were people who are scattered, but some other people are called to go far. Some other people are called to go far. Those are the missionaries that we sent in those stations that I showed you in the Congo. Some people are going to Wele, Hotuwele, places that you have never heard about. But because of their love for God, they go to those places. Because some are called to go far. But we are all called. There is no question about our common calling as missionaries of the gospel. From the moment you believe, you are sent. The only question that we might ask ourselves is where and how are we called to testify of God's love to the world? And let me suggest to you that the calling that we have is not an individual calling. It's collective. Because Jesus said to his disciple, "Go and make disciples of all people." He wasn't talking to one person. He was talking to a group of people. And I believe that God is calling us as a church. He's not only calling me as a person, but he's calling all of us. Because we have established that all of us are missionaries, right? All of us are missionaries. So he's calling us, all of us, with our gift, with our talent. And for some people, they might, when they see big gifts, people who are evangelizing, people who are preaching, they think like, maybe I don't have something to contribute. But I think as the church function, we will always see there is a place to all the gifts that God has given for this church, right? For all of us. And the question you might ask is, what breaks your heart? When you look at how the church is functioning, what breaks your heart? What are you gifted to do? What are your natural gifts? Some people are very good with media. Some people are very good with technical stuff. Some people are very good with leading small groups, Bible study, Sunday school. All these are places. Because we don't want the success of this church is not when we fill it with many people. The success of this church is when as much as many people are involved in the work of ministry. That's what I wanted to say by saying the mark of a great church is not in its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. We will say that this church is successful not because we have many people who are filling the pews. We will say that this church is successful when many people in this church are involved in the work of ministry. People don't just come to sit, but they want to get involved. They want to be participants and not consumers. Amen? Are we together so far? Participants and not consumers. Because there are many things to do here. There are many gaps to fill. There are Sunday school. There are small groups to lead. You know, sometimes I hear stories about cells group that stopped gathering because a certain president left. The president traveled, and so the cell is no longer meeting. I mean, if we knew that we are all missionaries, then someone should take up, right? Someone should stand in the gap and say, okay, since so-and-so has left, let me again continue with this work because we are all called. We are all called. Amen? We are all called. So small groups, Bible study, we have many avenues for you to be involved in the work of ministry. Sunday school, choir, homes devotion, even at home. Preaching is not only here. You can also lead your devotion at home because discipleship happens in all those places. Workplaces, when your colleagues see the way you are living, when they see your consistency, the consistency between what you believe and the way you are living, that's a big witness. Amen? That's a big witness. Act of justice and so on. But as I said, some are called to go far. These are missionaries that we are sending to those places. And one of the things, one of the way we can support these people is by praying for them. Pray for those missionaries because these people face so many difficulties. Imagine going to a culture that you don't know about. Adapting to a new place, it's very, very challenging. Pray for these people. And another way is to support them as well financially. Amen? That's the opportunity that we are giving you today. Amen? That's the opportunity that we are giving you today. So we have established that we all have a responsibility. And we have demystified the missionary profile. We said that all of us are called to be missionary. Every Jesus follower is sent. But let me tell you that our mission is double-fold. Because when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all people, he didn't stop there. He said, teaching them to obey, right? Teaching them to obey. So evangelism and discipleship must thrive together. They must be in balance. I think I did something like that. Because there are churches that lean so much on teaching. They want people to know many things, the right doctrines. They focus all their resources on the inside. And they don't want to go. They don't want to go and be representative of Christ out there. And most of the time, those kind of churches, they become stagnant church. Almost like social club, where everyone knows everyone, right? Those churches develop a consumer's mentality. Instead of being participant in what God is doing, they are just there, consuming, criticizing. I didn't like when the choir sang that song. You know, that's the consumer mentality in many people. They become me-centered, and we absorb so many resources with little impact. We focus so much on the Sunday experience. Let's have a big experience. And in the end, when we focus so much on the inside, church becomes something we do instead of us becoming the church. We are the church. Amen? When we focus on the inside, church becomes something we do instead of us being the church. So that's the danger of just, you know, focusing all our effort here. But there's also another flip side to that, because there are other churches that lean so much on evangelism and don't do discipleship. They want to proclaim the gospel. They want people to repent, but they don't teach them to obey, right? That's another flip side. And in those churches, we have so many converts, but few disciples. Numbers, big numbers. And we see in those churches also inconsistent living. People who, yes, they fill churches, but there is an inconsistency between the way they live and the truth that they profess. And in those churches, we also see that the work of ministry revolves around a few gifted leaders. You know, when you are so focused on numbers, you don't take time to invest in leadership development. That's why the work of ministry rely on a very few gifted leaders. You know, it will be very sad if me and Serge will be the only people who will be able maybe to lead service or preach for the next 5 years. That will be a mistake, because the church will be only relying on a few gifted leaders. Discipleship means that we are investing in other people so that they will take up the baton. Amen? So that they will take up the baton and continue this work. Amen? And the other thing we see in those churches is that we attract many people. We attract crowds instead of forming Christ-bearing followers of Christ. People who will take up their cross, die to themselves, and go on for the cause of Christ. And that's why I concluded my message this morning by adding this statement that the end goal of mission is not conversion, but discipleship. And discipleship is obedience to the Lord's command. The end goal of mission is not conversion. We don't stop at converting people. We need to disciple them. And discipleship is teaching them to obey everything that the Lord has commanded. And that kind of discipleship can only happen in the context of the local church. Because discipleship needs long-time relationships, right? We walk together, we live together, and that's how we teach them to obey all that the Lord has commanded us. And that's why I'm so passionate about church planting. That's why I talk about these things. That's why I started about those missionary stations. Because the more churches we establish, the more discipleship will be possible. So may the Lord help us, and may the Lord bless His word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Jeremy, for the word. We really appreciate that. And I really like one thing that Jeremy said, the success of our church should not be measured on the number of the people we keep in this area, but by the number of people we send outside there. So are you willing to be sent, or are you willing to send someone? That's a question that I'm leaving for you. This is wonderful. Can we just appreciate Brother Jeremy for the wonderful word that has brought to us?